Blog Talk Radio.
Again, I'm your host, Marlon Ranger, and this is Sports Week Review. I'm your host, and of course, I got my man, Lumatic, coming in very soon, very shortly. We'll go over some of the events that are taking place within the NBA, NFL, sports world top topic. Mr. Lou, how we doing, sir?
Yeah, we doing all right. Ghost town.
For a Sunday, at least, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always like that, you know, Sunday night, and then you realize you got to go to work the next day. Even if you got to go to school the next day, it's almost an issue, right? So,
yeah.
Current guitar pretty ugly. Man. Start a review. Not much going on, really, within the sports world. I mean, there's some topics like anything else. And, You know. We'll just get right into it. Hop off. Of course, you know, the NBA Finals is coming up this Thursday. Is it Thursday? Or is it Wednesday? I can't remember the day specifically, so it's Thursday. We already made our picks, basically. I took Golden State. You took Cleveland in six, right? So,
yep.
And really, I should say seven. I feel like I need to change it and say, you know, it'll go to seven games. Versus six, but it's like, I don't know. It's one of those series where it's very hard to get a pulse on what's going on because of the injuries, right?
Yep.
I mean, if Kyrie Irving is, you know, even 75 to 80%, then, you know, I can legitimately see Cleveland, you know, going in there taking it to like six or even seven games, you know, but then I look at the way Golden State has looked ever since they defeated Memphis. And they were down two games to one. They've only lost one game since, you know. But Cleveland easily swept two of their series. But, I mean, it's Boston at this particular point. And you know, that squad, that's a really young team. You know, they made the playoffs and made a little short run, played competitive games, but they're still a real young team that has to build. So then you look at the Bulls, that's pretty much the staple win. And Atlanta did win 60 games, but, of course, we already went over the injury, Cephalosius, Carroll missing the game, Korver getting injured, I think it was a game three. So now it'll be a true test, and it's kind of hard to really imagine it being any different than what we would see. So I'm going with Golden State, and I'm going to change from six to seven games. I think they can go ahead and stretch it to seven. I just feel like it could be six. I mean, going there, but I think they'll go back and forth. I think that it'll be a back and forth series all the way through 1-1, 2-1, 2-2, 3-2, 3-3, and game seven ultimately will be in Oakland. And I'm going to take Golden State. I think they'll be a little bit prepared for it, but trust me, you know, Cleveland. You know, Cleveland can easily take me. So, are you going to stick to yours, or are you going to change it or switch it up?
I'm sticking to mine. I'm still putting Cleveland in six. And also on top of this, we don't know if Klay Thompson is going to be ready for the first game. Because he was diagnosed with a concussion after getting a kick from Trevor.
Knee in the head.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'd like to say that to me, that did look somewhat accidental. That didn't look like it was intentional. I got caught in the air and he tried to, you know, twist out the way and end up catching him. That's mm-hmm. my sample. What you think about it?
Of course, that was accidental. anybody out there that say that was on purpose is a fool and is basically a Warriors fan, a casual Warriors fan to death, don't know nothing about basketball.
Or they might be a member of PETA. So, let me stop. Higgins.
The hell? He think I'm doing this.
Yeah. So, you know, practically speaking, I mean, you know, accidental. I think he might get clear for that. I mean, because what, the 5, 6, 7 game? Well, they'll go ahead and probably give it a double check probably Wednesday, I'm hearing, from the report, to make sure that he passes a concussion test and that he's all right. It was a pretty tough blow that he took to the head. Ears was bleeding. It was pretty much dramatic and pretty close, so we'll look forward to seeing that. And I see a little headline here saying that Love expecting to play opening night with the Cavs. What's this about?
Yeah.
Whoa. What's that? I didn't know that. I didn't hear that in particular. I'm looking at the report here, and that's practically what it's stating here. It's having good rehabilitation, a good rehab in the progress of the shoulder. And say, yeah, they expect to be back on the court for opening night 2015. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the statement that said now, but we'll wait and see come October.
Wait a minute. He's saying for the start of next season. That's what he's talking, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought he was talking to see, you got to read these reports carefully because it almost threw me off guard. I thought he was talking about the playoffs. I was about to say, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, he said if you want to Cleveland Cavaliers jersey. Right now, he's somewhat in a tough spot because, look, he's already made his money from Minnesota. He's not going to get a max deal, I suppose, in Cleveland. He'll probably get something comparable. But the reality is, you know, him coming off the bench being the third option, he's not going to get that kind of money. And now, I doubt for his career and his reputation and his legacy. And this is the thing, like, you know, later on in a lot of these young players' careers, they always look towards the fact that they have legacy. Legacy somewhat outweighs money nowadays for the most part. You look, you can make money, but your reputation is what people tend to care about most out of you know, young athletes today. And the perception of him is that if he leaves and he goes to a team that has a losing franchise, but he's going to get the max dollars, then it's like, man, how do you recover from that? You know what I mean? Whereas he could stay, he was starting to, like, feel, you know, be a good player in the void, especially in that Boston series. He was starting to get it together towards the end of that season, and it's like, man, I can still come up, average 20, close to 20 points, 18 points a game, give you some rebounds, and still win championships, almost what Chris Bosh sacrificed while LeBron was down there in Miami. So it's like, what are you about? Are you about championships, or are you about just getting paid? And most people, like, you know, who we say our little friend out there in New York City, Mr. Carmelo Anthony, basically go for the bread, right? So lately, players are worried about their reputation. And, you know, it's a big difference. Don't think that hasn't crossed Carmelo's mind. I think he's going to take a lot of flack next season if he hasn't already because, you know, he had Amon Shumpert and J.R. Smith and couldn't do anything but barely win 20 games. And then they go to Cleveland, and wow, they get to the finals. How do you like that, right? It speaks volumes between the Gulf of Mexico that we call LeBron and Carmelo, the gap in between the greatness. In my eyesight, you know, Carmelo chooses wealth and money over success and championships. He's only gotten out of the first round 2 times in his whole career, or his entire career, right? 1 time with the Nuggets, yeah. 1 time with the Knicks. And just looks bad. I don't know how else to, you know, any other way to put it.
It look bad. It is bad.
I'm just trying to be, you know, say that in a non-evasive way that it wouldn't be critical of him too hard on him, but reality is, it's the truth.
Well, I'm being critical of the whole organization. Not just
I'm
him. Not him alone. I'm critical of him and the whole organization itself. Because how do
you really
they purposely put themselves in this situation And you remember back when they were worse before, like around when Stephon Marbury was there and Isaiah was there, why would you hire back the same guy, the same GM that was there during that whole garbage that was going on then?
Who is the GM for? I thought the GM is Phil Jackson, ain't it? And the owner's the same, James Dolan.
Well, the that's the other guy, Mills.
Well,
are you going to bring that trash bag back? Oh yeah, it's not. You let go two of the players when you shouldn't have let go. And now they both flourishing. They're in the finals now, and your team is garbage now. And on top of that, you couldn't even win in the draft lottery. Couldn't even crack the top three.
I tell you, by Phil Jackson taking free money, because the reality is, listen, that team's not going to be anything until they blow up the whole. Listen, they just blow up the whole lineup. I would have never given Carmelo that money, or that hasn't proven to me that he can win. So why would I give him that kind of extension? And, yeah, he scores a lot of points, but he doesn't play any defense. He's a one-sided player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Durant is a scorer, but he plays better defense. He dedicates more. So I don't know. Maybe they'll try to figure it out. But remember, you know, you look at it. I said it here. Two players that I get the most criticism for criticizing, and that's Derrick Rose and Carmelo Anthony. Everybody despises me because I say those two will never win champions. And so far, to the proof of the history, it's proven itself out, is it not? I made these predictions, 2 years ago? None ever went, either one of them. And it's just, you know, with Chicago getting rid of Thibodeau, and I pretty much, we've heard the back and forth from you know, the media and between management and Thibodeau and how they couldn't get along and how he basically didn't listen to what they were saying and he was calling the shots. This is what I don't understand, Lou.
Isn't that the same things they were saying when they let Phil Jackson go? Isn't that the same things when they were saying when they let Scott Skiles go? I'm seeing a common trend here.
This is the thing, and I didn't really realize Jerry Krause has been out of the picture for a while here. I thought he was still in the picture, but I think he left in 2003. I was doing a little background check on what was going on. And, of course, Gar Foreman and John Paxson fill those shoes. But look at the history, right? You get rid of Phil Jackson, you bring in Tom Floyd, he coaches Iowa. You know, you get rid of Thibodeau, now you're looking at a coach for Iowa State. I mean, are you kidding me, man? I don't see the logic in any of this. And it's you know, say what you want. The whole idea is this. Look, you hire a coach to do his job, and if the guy comes in, he only has his superstar for 47% of the games, and then he comes in and he wins over 67% of the games. He's sixth on all-time list. So I don't know. What do you say to that? How do you get rid of that? How do you look at that, let that happen, and then don't support the guy that's actually coaching the team? Right? I don't get it. But we obviously will see next season, because it'll be history repeating itself. It's no different. I mean, the reality is Phil Jackson has 6 championships, and they pretty much walked him out of the door, Reinsdorf and the rest of those guys, and then he goes to L.A. and wins 5 more. Now he leads, you know, the whole NBA history with 11 championships. I don't know what else does anybody need to say or feel what's wrong with that picture. This is who you got rid of, and you replaced him with who, Floyd? And remember, there was a bad little trend there, I think after him, like you said, they brought in Skiles. Skiles did somewhat decent. They got rid of him. I don't know. It's consistency lacking in that front office, and it's just they just always find or figure out a way to just make it not work.
That front office. They don't really care that much about winning. They'll care about short term winning, and then they'll be ready to get rid of you like after a year. This is a bit how this organization has been since 92, back when the Dream Team was playing. You remember when they were playing against Croatia as Tony Kukoc. The Bulls were pulling so hard about Tony Kukoc. Tony Kukoc wanted to bring him in, pretty much wanted to make him the star. And Jordan and Pippen didn't like that, and they pretty much ring Coach out that whole game. Just to show the Bulls organization, like, hey, we still here. We don't even play that game with us. You won one championship, and you're already ready to get rid of us?
Man, you think about it. You know, some of these, and that's why, you know, it has to be a combination. Everybody has to be on one accord. You bring in players to play. You bring in coaches to coach. I don't really see why they would want to interfere with that process. You say, oh, well, you know, these guys are overplaying Derrick Rose. Listen, the guy's an injury magnet, and it has nothing to do with him overplaying. It's the way he plays. He goes hard to the basket, and that's why. He plants his foot, and that's how he got injured in the first place. And he does the same thing each and every way. He should have tried to develop a better type of game or style of play. And I told you, basically, you know, you just look at Rose. Rose is one of those players that will take, just like Iverson, 30 to 40 shots a game, make about 29 to 37% of them, and then, you know, makes the stat sheet look great, but obviously playing with them, they don't even play as well. As a matter of fact, I can make an argument and say, hey, you look at the stat, they play better without them. They actually have a winning record without,
yeah,
without Rose. And it's not because he isn't good. It's just the fact that he doesn't complement. His style of play does not complement what the Bulls need to do. Remember what I was telling you for the longest, what they should have did? Yeah, go ahead and get yourself a legitimate point guard and move him to shooting guard. And you might have a better chance of doing something. I would rather do that than go ahead and play Butler out there and let Butler go ahead and play, you know, small forward, big shooting guard, right? You have two of them on the court. But when them two are on the court and they're both clicking, it's really Butler that's shooting the higher percentage of shots. It's him that's having a better game. You look through the playoffs, he averaged more points and he looked better than Rose did in pretty much both the series that they played, the one that they beat the Bucks with and then the ones that they competed against the Cleveland Cavaliers. So,
yeah.
I don't know what to make of it, Lou. I mean, what would you suggest? I mean, given the circumstance.
I would suggest you look for a new team to root for. Just like I said, this is how this organization's been since 1992. Since 1992, they've been doing stuff like this. So, and it hasn't changed since. But I think you need to find you a new team, buddy.
I'm all right calling them garbage. I've already seen championships won. I'm all right. I think it's really just bad for those people who are fan of players, because that's what I see now. People don't follow teams as much as they follow players nowadays, right? Like, you know, of the way teams.
That's how the league is marketed now. They're marketing players now more than teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Superstar. Because, you know, hey, at any time, you know, LeBron can go to a different team. At any time, we can see Melo go somewhere else. We can see Kobe Bryant run somewhere else. Dwayne Wade's talking about leaving. See, nobody's staying with their prospective franchise, and the franchise labels aren't anything anymore. It's about what the players want and where they're going. Right now, we're watching a league where the most popular team, one of the most popular teams, is in Oklahoma City. You got another great star who's playing in New Orleans right now, upcoming, right? So you look at the way it's spread out. I mean, you got Washington. It's like all these franchises are spread out. State right now is the team that's in the finals. This is something that wasn't happening before, and we focus more on the superstars and how that pretty much is laid out. This is pretty much laid the groundwork or the map for all the other players to follow. So it's a players' league, and that's what everybody tends to pay the most attention to. So it's very, very unique in perspective as to what's going on, but it's not surprising at all. So, and what else can a man do, right?
Yeah.
So, moving into the NFL, that's a couple of stories here. Like Johnny Manziel lost his temper. If a fan went to the bathroom, went to go ahead and pass on him. Like he threw his water bottle. listen. You know, and we always said, or our stated, when this guy, before he was drafted, you remember that last season? I said, you know what? It's not about the talent with him. It's not about his ability to play football. It's about what he has between his head and shoulders. That's the problem. What he has above his neck. And he's mentally not built for that position. Now, he can play any other position. Right, he can go out. He can play for, say, and he can play wide receiver. He can play running back. He can play kick returner. He can play any other position and have that kind of mentality. You can't play in the NFL and struggle with that. You can't do it. It's just not productive. It doesn't make sense. And you know what do you think about that?
Well, I think I'm actually surprised.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that it didn't happen sooner.
Yeah, I mean, he's been all kinds of tripping last season anyway, you know. Then throws himself in the rehab. And you already know he's going to catch some kind of flack. He's going to get some kind of, you know, people pestering him, saying all kinds of negative things based off the way, you know, he handled his business last season. So it's like, you know, you got to be mentally tough. And it seems like, you know, it's not to say there's nothing wrong with being frustrated, but in the present position that you're in, you can't afford to do it. You have to lay off. You can't refrain or you can't agitate the media or fans. You have to take it. And he's still not getting it. Still spoiled rich guy. You know what I mean? Got to have his way. And it's not working. So, man, I tell you.
Yeah, he's not worried about it.
Yeah, he just won't be starting. That'll be pretty much it. His career is basically about to just die and go away. And he has all that potential. It's crazy. But it's absolutely the truth about what's going on there in that particular situation. Another story came out, Lou, late last week, about how Jameis Winston is actually practicing and working so hard at that position, they told him to go home. He was at the facility for so long, watching film and paying attention to understanding this play, that he's basically was told to leave the facility. And let me tell you something. See, and I got to give him credit because I was pretty much lumping him, and we was lumping him in the same category as, you know, Johnny Manziel, and how he's just going to mess up and how he was not going to be able to, you know, convert to professional level. And here he is proving me wrong right out the gate. He's doing the opposite of what Johnny Manziel was doing. He's taking leadership. He's staying in the locker room. And this is the thing, like, we all love Marcus Mariota, which, by the way, leads the NFL in jersey sales. Based on his character and the type of person he is, and you really look at what's going on, and it's like, man, you got to really give the guy credit because he's coming out with all this baggage, and look what he's doing. He's proving that he's a locker room guy. He's proving that he's a leader, and he's earning the respect of his peers. So it's like that has to be a breath of fresh air to see that he's doing this much, or he's coming to age of maturity, to where he realized he's taking this situation very serious. He's all about trying to be great. So, you know, I expect good things from him next season, and I expect him to be somewhat. If he continues to go on as fast, it's going to look good. Now, if he starts winning, I don't know what to say, Lou. It's going to be bad because I think he can't, you know, have success too early because everywhere he's gone, he's had this level of success, and it's almost like he'll tend to, like, get a fat head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can't let it grow to the size.
He's playing for Tampa Bay, so success is going to come early anyway.
I don't know. They've had what, like, almost like the Browns with all the quarterbacks they have. But, you know, this is the thing. Like, the Bucs, I expect to be a lot better this year. There was a couple games last season, man. They just kind of gave up and laid down. I'll be quite honest with you. They just lost a lot of games for a lack of effort. They came in, and they've had a couple of games, and now you got Lovie Smith, so I expect that defense to be a whole lot better this season than it was last season. And then, of course, now with this quarterback, you got to give him props. You know, if he does what he's supposed to do, you got a great running back. You still got Doug Martin back there, and what's the guy, man? They got two great receivers, Vincent Jackson, and the rookie out of Texas A&M there. I forgot his name just that quick, but whatever. I think it's Mike. Forgot his name, but they got two big targets. They got a nice tight end, and then now you have Jameis Winston at quarterback. Defense should look good. I said Tampa Bay to win 7 or 8 games next season, which would be a big jump. And, you know, the following season, if it continues, it's going to be pretty good. Most people don't even realize that, Winston actually scored better on their wonder list than Andrew Luck. I mean, not the wonder list, but as far as understanding plays on the chart board for the defensive plays, I had to take that comment that I said back. But as far as understanding the plays, I heard that he impressed more than Andrew Luck did in regards to that. He just has this cockiness about him that kind of throws everybody off, including myself. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see, and that will play itself out. I mean, so what do you think about that, Lou? I mean, this guy basically doing what he's doing. Good step, right step in the right direction.
Yeah, it seems like that, don't it? Well, let's remember, this is Tampa Bay.
Are you predicting a downfall?
I'm not predicting quick downfall, but let's just say that he's getting thrown out of the gym for being there too long. I think as the season goes on later, people are going to be it's going to go from staying too long into the gym to, what, you leaving early?
Well, you know what? Well, you know, I got to realize something. Like, I got to give him some credit like this. This is what I'm saying, Luke. He's a lot smarter than the way he acts. I'm starting to realize that. Guy's super intelligent, man. He seems not to really make a lot of mistakes when it comes to the football field. I'd say I watched him in that Oregon game. It wasn't his fault they lost. He was the reason why they even put points on the board. But I tell you, if he does his part, I expect good things. I expect good things. But it's going to be definitely like watching the accident. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. Could he be the J.R. Ryder of the NFL?
I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't think so. But we have to wait, because he'll have like, you know, this trait that will cause him to be unsuccessful and just do craziness. The one thing I worried about what I was watching him was a lot of the interceptions last season. From a football standpoint, he threw a lot of picks. But the thing is, it's like he made a lot of big-time throws to win a lot of those games too. So he has it in him to come from behind and carry the team on his shoulders and do something. And he's coming out of the gate being prepared and actually, you know, having some wonderful gameplay. So I see him. I see him, man. So – you know, it's very trivial, Will. Yeah. You know. Also, the Brady suspension, the appeal will be heard on the 3rd of June, which is almost a month from now. Like, geez, why so long? Just want to hurry up and get it done with, right?
They're taking their sweet time.
Man, they really are. They're really burning up the clock with this thing. It's, I mean, it should it shouldn't take that long. Like, we already know the facts of the situation. You already have a report on it. I mean, hurry up. Get it together. It should have took 1 week to get his evidence. He should have been gathering his situation and his evidence until after the actual punishment came down, right? It could be a quick turnaround, but crazy, man. Crazy. You think, you know, we all anticipate he'll cut down to like 2 games. That's probably what we see. I think he knew what's going on, so, huh? Nothing. Man. So, I just realized, too, that's a player from the Falcons. He got charged and a dog's death. And after that, the Falcons cut. Like, I wonder what happened. Did he accidentally hit a dog?
But like, ran over the dog.
Go ahead. That's how. Let me see. Let me see. It says, okay, he had a girlfriend, I suppose, and said her ex-boyfriend had killed a dog. Said, he said, what you call it? The player took the dog to the apartment. At some point, she left along with the dog. And when she found the dog later, the dog was unresponsive. Investigation was completed Thursday. It was charged with felony aggravated cruelty to animal. The dog died from blunt force trauma. Wow.
Well, you're going away for a long time, buddy.
Rodney. Lou, do you understand? They did an investigation, an autopsy, on a dog. I didn't know they do that. This is crazy. I mean, it's fair. I'm not saying it's not. It's just, good Lord. Yeah, well, I guess you didn't learn. And he's in Atlanta. What's going on with Atlanta players and dogs, man? There's something up with that, right?
Yeah,
I guess it's like a bad luck city.
Yeah, Atlanta's not a place for harvest anyway to begin with.
Man. I tell you.
I'd rather go visit Russia before I visit Atlanta.
You know what? Somebody got to figure out something. Whatever's down there in the water, they seem to always be allergic to people with pets, man. I don't know what's wrong with that. That's crazy. So that looks pretty insignificant the way that kind of went down. But I guess that's pretty much it for that. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, Leah Steele was basically the Cincinnati Bengals player. Whose daughter had cancer, and there was raising money for cancer awareness. It looked like she suffered a setback in the treatment, which is sad. You know, we lost Stu Scott to the same kind of situation, right? A lot of people, we hear a lot of victories about people winning, but then there's a lot of, you know, losses too. And this story's been followed for the better half of a year and a half, and I suppose people are paying attention. We're paying close attention to what's going on, so it doesn't look too good, right? So,
yeah. Also, on top of that, I think a week or 2 weeks ago, Craig Sager had to go back in for treatment.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right, I remember. So on the sideline, and then he had to go right back. There was an announcement on that, I remember. That's sad. Cancer's a tough thing.
Yep.
Definitely playing it close. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, looking to that one.
Also, we have, going back to basketball, the Pelicans have a new coach. It is Mr. Alvin Gentry.
Oh man, that's kind of tough for Steve Kerr. Isn't that one of his assistants? It was there in Phoenix when he was coaching Phoenix, right? He was the GM there when the Alvin was there. And basically, one of his close friends, and looked like he's leaving. I thought the Pelicans got rid of Monty Williams, which I really didn't understand that.
Yeah,
I didn't get that either. I mean, first time they ever made the playoffs. And it's like, man, what are you doing?
Guess they just put him on as a development coach, like the team to develop into the position they are now, and say, okay, we made the playoffs. Team's looking good. Okay, we'll let you go, and we'll get somebody else that we think is at a more high caliber. But Alvin Gentry isn't really that much better. I mean, he hasn't really. I mean, his overall career is 335, 370, and his most successful 10-year was in Phoenix, and he went 158 to 144 over 5 seasons. So,
no, this is what's going on with Steve Kerr. That's what that is. It's more or less like the Golden State Warriors are in the finals. He's on that staff. He feels he has, you know, a level of experience working with, you know, Kerr, and we feel that he can go ahead and mesh in with Anthony Davis. So that's what that is. Nothing more than that, and it's probably a mistake. More than likely, it's a mistake. And I don't know, you know, these teams always make these ridiculous acquisitions that don't make much sense at all. Now, I don't quite get it. Now, on rebound, every once in a while, one of them works out, right? Because we were saying that last year with Steve Kerr going Golden State. I mean, Mark Jackson had won 51 games. Kerr comes in, he wins 67, and they're in the final. You know what I mean? So let's people look at that and make that more or less the exception, or make that the rule over the exception, right? But it's going to blow up in their face.
Yeah, but in that situation, it's like you're handing keys to the car to another person. Especially in Steve Kerr, yeah, the team is better, but they're better because of the more offensive game that they have. As far as defensively, they're still playing the same type of defensive scheme that Mark Jackson had with that team. It's basically saying, like, okay, I have a 400-horsepower car, but I'm giving the car to this guy now. I'm selling it to him. You know, I've been winning races with it. He give him the car. Yeah, he's running races with it too, but he only did one thing to change on it. Okay, everything else is still the same.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I don't think it was a wise move. I don't think it was wise at all. And I think it's going to end up ruining what they anticipated or what they thought it was going to have.
Yeah, because the team still needs something out of the draft. He's still missing a few pieces, especially in their forward. Their forward position is weak right now, especially at the small forward spot. The guard position is kind of okay, but as far as the small forward spot, they're really weak there.
Yeah, they are. And we'll see what they do, you know, with any kind of free agency or what they might pick up in the draft. You know, get somebody off the bench, find somebody, you know. I know that team could be very dangerous. Davis was a beast. I mean, he really showed out this season. I expect to see more greatness next season. It's probably going, you know, they probably need, like you said, another person to kind of compliment him and do what they need to do. That's right. So, you know, if they're taking a look at it, how it turns out. Let me see. What else is going on? Seth Velocious says his arrest has hurt his reputation. Probably should have thought about that before he got caught up, right?
You think?
What's wrong with these guys? It's like, bro, you was on a 60-win team, and then you got into an accident in a situation, you know, that pretty much ended your season and opportunity to get to the finals. I mean, you were just in the conference finals. You were facing off. Can you imagine if you would have had Cephalosis?
Yeah, Cephalosis really
won
really
one
good
or two
on
games.
Defense. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, my bad. And we'll see how that affects next season. Because, you know, who knows, Atlanta might try to go ahead and what's the deal he has with them? I remember Seth Losis was playing with Oklahoma City, what, last season? Was it last season or a year before?
Yeah.
And I don't know. We'll see what happens. That's going to dictate a lot of things. Don't have a perception of him, but it doesn't look good.
He's a real good trade item, I know that.
Yeah, you can get a nice piece come in. you know, I just saw this story right here, man. This is crazy, man. Remember Chris Gatlin?
Oh, see.
Look, ran a massive online fraud scheme using credit cards of people from across the nation. It's like, man, what?
Swapping credit cards as well, man.
I don't get that, man. It's like you made millions of dollars, and you still trying to rob people that don't have anything. But that's the worst thing you could possibly do to somebody, right? You're rich, and you're sitting there robbing somebody who doesn't have any money.
He's not rich.
Yeah. Oh, he was.
If you. Yeah, exactly. He was, and now he's broke, and now this is the reason why he's doing this.
Because he can't get a hold of his lifestyle. I mean, I wonder how much money he actually made in the NBA. I know because, you know, listen, that's guaranteed contracts, and Gatlin was an all-star. He was an all-star, right? He probably went three or four times?
No, not three or four times, probably like twice. He was a key player on every team he played on. So
he was definitely a solid, like a real solid player.
Yeah. Outside of his flopping tactics.
Had a good, yeah, we could always go blow for blow with that one, right? Yeah, there's always a lot of different players that are going to fall in that category, you know, flopping for it. That's crazy, man. That's crazy, like, you know.
Yeah.
I just don't quite get it. Like, it's cool, man. He was a good mid-level player. Good mid-level player.
Man.
He probably made medium to solid money. Like, man, I don't understand why he would put himself in a predicament like that. But he didn't have to. You know what I mean? So, crazy.
Did you watch the video?
Of who?
Jordan
yes,
Killigan.
Yes, I didn't know it was a white guy. Very surprising. And, boy, I saw, like, his 720 dunk. And I saw he was just doing ridiculous things. Like, is this guy, how old is he, number one, is my question. And does he play for anybody? Like, does he, if he's a college, is he playing in college, or is he just basically like a guy that has tremendous talent but just struggles getting an opportunity? Because that guy, he's like, fun to watch.
I think he's in his, I don't know his exact age, but I think he's in his 20s. He doesn't play for anybody. He basically just goes around and, like, puts on shows for people. That's basically his thing. So that's pretty much as much as I know about the guy so far.
Good Lord,
nickname.
He's an avid.
Nickname Peter Parker / Spider-Man.
Yeah, he looks like Peter Parker. That's a pretty solid name to give him. He plays just like Peter Parker. He looks like him, I should say. He's played like him before. He's good. And then I saw, man, I was actually, to be quite honest, Lou, look, I was watching his videos, then I came across some other videos, man. It's like a another, like, eighth grader or ninth grader, a little small white guy, man, and he plays almost identical to Jason Williams. Like, the way, the way he runs, the way he shoots, that's like, man.
Yeah, I've probably seen him before.
Yeah. Boy, and it's amazing to see the talent that's coming up. As we look, it's going to be a lot. It's a lot of talent, but the thing is it going to be a situation where they're going to allow this talent to cultivate? And I don't think that's happening. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think people are going to give them the opportunity to cultivate. They're going to, be overhyped, exaggerated. There was another dude that I think I saw, Mike Krzyzewski, looking at the kid. Kid looks good, too, and I think he's going to recruit him. That's a lot of talent, man. It is. It's just, I don't know how they're going to transcend or how they're going to elevate their game to make it to the next level. You know what I mean?
Well, it would be nice if the NCAA was anything similar to the way the NBA game is. Because right now, everybody, how they play in high school is pretty much the same tempo and speed as how everybody plays in the NBA. It's just the rules are like a little way more stricter for the high school game. But once you leave high school and go to college, your game is going to be your game is going to be jacked up because now you're going to play at slower speed. Everything is going to be like five, six, seven, eight possessions before you put a shot up. And then after that, then you're going to be judged upon that regardless of everything. It's funny, they're recruiting these guys. They're watching them in high school, watching the ability they have, playing a certain style of game. Then you put them in another style of game, which is real obsolete. It shouldn't be played anymore. And then you're going to draft them upon that. Sometimes they don't get drafted, and so they won't get a chance to go and play in the pro league, which is playing the style of play that they've been playing in high school.
Yeah. And that's really where the problem is. I think changes more than likely have to be made to the college game to tailor it more or less like the NBA game, right? I think once that happens, and like I've always said, and we've had this situation, you have to make it an either-or situation for the college game to the NBA situation. Like, if you want to go straight to the NBA, you have that opportunity. But if you're staying in college, you got to get there 3 years. You got to be there three seasons. And I think it'll be better that way because then that gives everybody the opportunity to go straight there. The ones that stay, listen, you have to be there. So, this is.
Yeah, something needs to be changed. Something in the college game itself, something has to be changed with that. Because that's where the real problem lies, right, in between there. The people, the NCAA in charge of that, that's where the problem is.
Yeah. The way they kind of just, it's always them. On all levels, too. Don't think it's just basketball. It's like that in football, too. They're crooked in a lot of ways. They do a lot of different things. What I'm starting to watch, seeing football, that what I'm liking is they're allowing some of these students to go ahead and transfer as they please. When you think about it, they should have that ability to do. You know what I mean? They should have that opportunity to leave if they want to leave. Like, okay, you trap them in for a scholarship if they want to transfer. They can't play the next season. They got to wait another season. You know what I mean? But they're starting to, how they do to have rules of eligibility. Like once they go ahead and graduate and they have another year of eligibility that's given to them, that they can go somewhere else and play the next season. And that's the same thing that happened with the Notre Dame quarterback previously, and now he plays for Florida State. And that guy's pretty good, too. And I'm surprised that, you know, St. Brian Kelly out of Notre Dame didn't get an opportunity to just kind of use him and kind of see how he was going to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. So, anything for the last story tonight before we go ahead and close shop?
Well, I just find it interesting how these turn events are happening, especially with coaching changes. You know, as soon as Tom Thibodeau gets let go, the Magic, they signed Scott Skiles, even though they had a chance to even try to pick up Thibodeau, but they're pretty much going to stick with Skiles, and the New Orleans Pelicans, they don't even interview the guy. They interviewed Gentry. Gentry got the job, but they also interviewed Jeff Van Gundy at one time, so... Yeah. Not looking good for Tibbs.
I don't see Tibbs. Well, you know, he'll be coaching next season. That's kind of what I see. I don't think he'll be doing anything next season unless we see something crazy happen. You know what I mean? In the off season, somebody gets rid of somebody unceremoniously. But, you know, I'm looking forward to probably seeing. But look, Tibbs will be in the league next season. Definitely. I mean, he's not going to be sitting down too long. So, you know, I don't understand what some of these coaches are doing, some of these organizations are doing, but it'll definitely play out. You'll have a group of teams next season that'll pretty much fail, and it'll play itself out and bear itself out.
Maybe, so, you know what? I forgot about Detroit. Maybe Detroit. You know, Van Gundy stick with the – yeah, well, Van Gundy has, you know, both jobs, coaching and GM, so – you could just sit in the office and have Tibbs take control of the coaching job. Detroit is a good team. They were just riddled with injuries. They got a good team.
Yeah. I can see that, too. I can see that happening, that being a reality. So, it's hard to say as to what they're going to do and what they plan to do. But, that's what I somewhat expect.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of expect him to – I expect him to be at least gone for one season and then possibly be back the following. Bad guess. Why nobody has even interviewed him is – boy, I tell you, I can't understand that for the life of me, Lou. I just don't quite understand that.
Chicago strikes again. That's what it was.
I mean, ruling them out, I'm saying the other teams, too, you know, whether it be, you know, the Pelicans, whether it be the Magic. Well, then again, I guess I answered my own question, right? That's why those organizations don't ever win anything. I say. But with that being said, Lou, I guess we'll go ahead and chop them up. We'll get ready for it come Thursday, and hopefully we'll have more to talk about. It'll be the big game. It'll be good. We'll have some in-game conversation about the matchups, and then we'll have someone go on. We're not necessarily sure right now. We're talking about a slow weekend, slow week. Everybody's resting. Everybody's getting it together, so. Makes sense to everybody. So with that said, man, we'll go ahead and let them go. Leaving with beautiful music. I'm your host, Marlon Ranger, and of course, co-host, Mr. Lou Matic. And we'll say peace.